Hey everyone, and welcome to the Final Four preview of the Doug and D-Gen podcast. I'm Doug.
And I'm your Final Four degenerate.
Perfect. We got three games left, two on Saturday. And at least one of the teams, I certainly didn't expect to be there. I mean, I did and I didn't. I definitely wanted them to be there, but I figured it was just such a long shot, but I'm so happy for NC State.
Yeah, I mean, NC State does deserve to be there.
Yeah, I mean, like the way that they're playing, they certainly deserve it, but what a run. Winning the conference tournament, coming out of nowhere in that, and just playing so good in this tournament. And they handled Duke pretty easily. They again, just because they did beat them in the tournament also. So beating a quality program like Duke twice, you know, it's just so good to see.
They've got a tough mountain to climb.
Oh, absolutely.
Also known as Zach Edey.
Yeah, absolutely. What a game that he had, though. His Elite Eight game. It's probably one of the best games in tournament history, I would say. I would go as far as to say that.
You know what? When I went to the game last Friday, he absolutely dominated the paint.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it's not only that he dominates the paint, but he's so efficient and he's such a good free throw shooter. the game that you were at, he was 10 for 15 and 7 for 10 from the field. I mean, from the free throw line. 27 and 14. Like, you can't ask for better than that.
No, I totally agree.
And then as far as the next game, putting up 40 and 16 wasn't as efficient by any stretch, but they just kept feeding him the ball, and he just kept doing it. What are your thoughts on? Well, I guess we should go with the first game first. But what game excites you most?
Oh, I think definitely for me, even though the spread is 11.5, it's Bama and UConn.
Okay. For me, it's the other game. The other game is more exciting to me, but Bama-UConn, I think has potential. I think it could be a very good game, but it also could be a very big blowout. I'm kind of on the fence on what I think is going to happen in this.
Well, it's a big spread. I think it's too big of a spread, in my opinion, but that's just me. My futures bet is still alive, which Alabama coming out of that bracket is unbelievable.
I just can't believe the last time that Connecticut's had a fairly tough game was March 15th against St. John's.
Yeah.
They've absolutely manhandled everyone they've played, winning every game in this tournament by over 20 so far. Just considering how dominant they've been, I understand they're certainly not going to be as close to home as they've played all tournament, but it's really hard for me to believe they're not going to just absolutely dominate this game.
Yeah, I mean, will they win? Yes, I think the spread's a little too high, though.
And it's funny, looking at like the typically what I look at as far as pace of play, points per game, field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, free throw percentage, rebounds, that all goes in Alabama's favor. But just they don't turn the ball over. Connecticut doesn't turn the ball over. Not that they really force turnovers, but they don't turn the ball over themselves, and they just get it done. But as far as the every other category, that's all in Alabama's favor.
I think for Alabama, it's whether they can make the three-point shot. If they start jacking up threes and making them, Connecticut's in big trouble.
Yeah.
But if now, as far as
three-pointers per game, they're second in the country as far as makes, and they're 21st in the country as far as percentage.
Well, you know what? Nate Oates said at the SEC tournament, if they want to make a deep run and they start shooting threes, that's their ticket to win. But if they don't want to play defense, then they're going to end up losing.
Yeah. Now the other game is a little more balanced, I think, as far as pace of play, points per game, field goal percentage. It definitely leans in Purdue's favor, but as it should, they're the number one seed. The first game, it leans more in Alabama's favor, which makes me kind of change my opinion a little bit. I think Connecticut wins, but they definitely I think they don't cover this game. I think Alabama covers.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a little too high.
No.
I haven't checked the times, but is that the first game?
Yes.
Oh, it is the first game. Interesting.
Oh, wait, no. It's on the top of the bracket, so I just assumed it was the first game. It's not. Sorry. It's the second game. They have the 8:49 game. The first game is Purdue and NC State. I'm just going on the bracket. Okay. I assumed that was the first. It is not.
Yeah, so the current line, based off the book that me and Doug use, it is -9 for Purdue, 146 is the total.
I think Purdue covers. I think they keep it close, but I think Purdue pulls away at the end.
Yeah, I think too much Edie. Unless DJ Burns, as we said before, has the game of his life.
I was just going to say, my thing with Burns is he can bully everyone he's played with, played against. Going against Purdue, I don't think he has that luxury where he can just bully them around and just be the biggest, strongest man in the game. He may be the strongest, but he's not the biggest. And I think Zach Edey is just way too dominant and way too good.
A man amongst boys.
Yeah.
Especially too, if Purdue can start making threes and going on a run.
Yeah. That's the thing that's scary with Purdue is I don't know if they've necessarily reached their potential. Like, obviously they're winning games. They're getting, but when I'm watching them, I always think they could play a little better. And for example, the Tennessee game was an absolutely great game, like we kind of figured, but I just felt like they could have played better. Gonzaga, I think they could have made a few more shots. Every game, and there's only two games left, potentially. But I think if Purdue puts it together, they could win this game big, but I don't think they do. I think they cover, but barely.
You think a 10-point win?
Yeah. I'm going to say like a 10-11-point win, and it'll basically just be in garbage time. I think the game itself will probably be like within like 6 points most of the game. And then the end of the game with free throws and trying to catch up, I just don't think they will. They'll kind of push the gap a little farther.
Yeah, I think too. I think this will be the first time that Zach Edey does face somebody who can actually body up on his defense.
But even if he can, I don't think that's going to stop him from a 20-15 game. Think he gets has a monster game. Even if he meets his match, I think it's not going to stop him from putting up a massive number.
No, I agree. I think the points will be there, but I'll tell you what though, that Burns kid is really good.
Now, I was telling you before we were recording that the NFL teams are looking at him, actually.
Which is scary.
Yeah, based on his athleticism and his build, I think they want to make him a tackle. Like,
now,
more
that would
like
be interesting.
Yeah, just based on his build and based on his stupid freak athleticism, I think they want to make him a tackle. So they're going to try to put him through like a pro day after the tournament, I guess, and just sort of see what they can do. See if he can, because realistically, he's not going to be an NBA player. And I believe he's a senior. So I don't think he's eligible to come back anyways.
I think he might be a COVID senior. What we mean by that is based off of the COVID year that they've had.
Yeah, so he's fifth year eligibility. I don't think he has a chance to come back, but if he can do something in the NFL, it's just interesting. And I mean, there has been players that have played in the NFL, like, you know, good college basketball players that are in the NFL or were in the NFL. You know, I think of like a Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Julius Peppers. There are some. So it's not much of a stretch.
No, it's not a big stretch at all.
But it's just he's never played a snap of football. But if he could be the ultimate project, why not?
Oh, yeah, 100% agree.
But no, I overall, I think we have a great weekend of games. I think Purdue covers late. I don't think Connecticut covers.
In the late game?
Yeah, I think Connecticut's more likely. I wouldn't be shocked if they do, but all the stats are leaning towards Alabama, so I think that it's going to be a lot closer than that number.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have like a 10-point Purdue win, and I'm going to say like a 6 or 7-point Connecticut win.
Any thoughts on the total in this game? Do you think both games go over, or do you think there's an under somewhere?
I you know what? I think both games go over. I think both games go over just because the Purdue game is more of a lower under anyways. And I think Purdue is going to start hitting their shots. And then obviously Alabama's pace, their 3-point shooting, and Connecticut just being so good. Yeah, I think the over's hit for both games.
Yeah, I mean, betting-wise, I don't know if I'm going to necessarily bet this now. I think I'm going to bet this closer. But if you put, if you tell me pick two games right now, it'd be both teams to cover. Do you put a little bit on the money line? Maybe the NC State team? Maybe
you know what? NC State would be the best value, I think. Because I think NC State pulling the upset is the more likely scenario, even though I think they're going to be the biggest like score. I think they're more likely to upset Purdue than Connecticut is to be upset by Alabama.
Could you imagine though if we have a last year it was UConn was an 8 and San Diego State was a 5? Could you imagine a 6-11 final?
That would be amazing. Oh, 4-4. Bama's a 4, so it would be a 4-11 final.
Right. Sorry.
No. That would be amazing.
Yeah, a 4-11 final.
And if can NC State makes the final, this might be one of the best runs in NCAA history.
You know what? They do have a history. Back in the 80s, they did win it with, you know, on ESPN, they have a Jimmy B Week donations to cancer. Yeah, Jim Valvanus, I think, was his name. And they won a title for him in the early 80s. Because being the great Houston team, I think.
They're 26-14 on the season. But they have won. Let me look here.
They've won nine straight games in a row. Think about that. You run through your conference and then you run through your bracket there.
Right. And they've run through good teams. On their run, they've beat some really good teams to get to that, like in the conference. Going through Louisville, which they're not what they used to be, but high scoring game. Going through Syracuse, Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina. Duke and Virginia and North Carolina were all higher seeds. And then in the tournament, Texas Tech, Oakland, Marquette, and Duke again. I don't know. I wanted to see them beat Duke twice, but I didn't think they were capable. They were obviously one of the teams that bump someone out, because I don't think they would have been a tournament team.
No, based off when the bracket was released, I think they had Oklahoma was the team they knocked out.
Right. So considering they bought a spot and earned that spot, and not only earned it, but I've gone on this run, I just think it's, if they make the championship game, it's probably one of the best runs in NCAA history.
Yeah, you can put him up there with George Mason.
Yeah.
St. Peter's from a couple years ago.
Now, the thing with St. Peter's and that kind of thing is they've never really played any talent. This NC State team, during the season, they've played in a big conference, but they just couldn't win the games. You know, it's crazy to me. I mean, you see them match up against a team like Duke in the regular season, and they just don't look like a tournament team. They don't look like they're capable of winning big games. Here we are.
But it says a lot, too, about the way St. Peter's playing, I think in the Mid-Eastern or Mid-Atlantic Conference, and as a 15 seed, too.
For sure. No, for sure. I just, we've seen this NC State team match up against a team like Duke in North Carolina. And, you know, it's easy to match up against them and know what you're getting. But then in the tournament, it just was a different thing. In March, they played North Carolina and Duke back to back. They lost by 9 to North Carolina. And they lost to Duke by 15.
And they've come out of the same bracket with Duke just beating Houston in the Sweet 16 as well too.
Right, exactly. I look at the way that NC State's played, and it's just, I would love to see what they do. But we're set to have some great games here.
Yeah. I'm not putting any money on it. Probably closer to tip off, just because
I'm probably not, just to enjoy it. But I agree. You know, I just want to enjoy the what we have, enjoy these games, and just see what good basketball we have in front of us. But I'm probably not going to bet.
Absolutely. So we're both on the underdogs. Bet responsibly. Don't be degenerate. Like, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And we will have our last pod of the season either Sunday or Monday.
Yeah. It'll be out before the championship game. I'm thinking record Sunday night. It'll be up Monday.
Yep.
And then we'll go from there. But please enjoy, bet responsibly, and enjoy the two, we got two great games, before the championship, and then that's all we got. So enjoy it, and we will be out soon.
Have a great weekend, guys.